This special birthday edition of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MAI and Mouse Fan Travel. You don't need a special celebration like a birthday to go on a trip, but you do need someone special to help you plan that trip. And that's what the vacation planners at MAI and Mouse Fan Travel can do for you. If you want to look for the best vacation, be it a Disney-based vacation or any vacation for that matter, visit the vacation planners at mai-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or by clicking on their banner on the Mickey Miles website. We want to take this opportunity to thank Becky Menken and all the vacation specialists at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel for making our first year of the Mickey Miles Podcast so successful. Happy birthday, everyone.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 106 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. How you doing, Michelle? We are fast approaching the Tower of Terror 10-miler.
I am very, very excited about the 10-miler, and I'm just having so much fun running now because I ran in such, as we all did this summer, ran in such heat, and when I got up to run today, it was 53, absolutely gorgeous. It was, I started running at 7 o'clock, and there's nobody on the road, and it was great. And as our guest can tell you, I ran 60 miles today. Bam. So I'm excited about that. Mike, are you ready for the Tower of Terror, you think?
I'm ready. I'm actually planning on beating last year's time by about 30 minutes.
Wow. That's great. I know that was the end of your races for the year for quite a while.
Yeah, I actually ran that injured, but I remember not only was I injured that night, but I think it was like 180 degrees, and everybody, I remember everybody talking about their times, and everybody was saying, gee, you know, it usually takes me that amount of time to run a half marathon, and we were all taking about the same amount of time to run a 10-mile race. So yeah. I would guess we'll all accomplish PRs this year.
Well, hydration is going to be the word of the day, so just take it easy and have fun, as we should all the time. I have a shout-out today, and the shout-out is to one of our listeners whose name is Alex Evans. And Alex was heading out today to do his first 5K. So congratulations, Alex. I love it when I hear people doing their first race. And I hope, Alex, that you take a picture of yourself with either your shirt or your bling, and you post it on the Mickey Miles podcast page. I also want to say one more thing, which is I just posted a new blog on our – I posted the link on our Facebook page, and it is by one of our buddies, Angel Ramos, and he did a blog on something, Mike, I think that you'll be very interested in. I know that you haven't read the blog yet. It is an app called Shoedometer, and – I had mentioned that I put the age of my shoes and my iCal, and that's how I keep track. Well, this app does it for you. You put in when you bought your shoes, and you can track your mileage and things like that. So you'll have to check it out. It's free. And everybody should go on the Mickey Miles podcast website, check out the blog, see what you think.
Interesting. I'll be curious to see how that app works.
Yeah.
So this week, as I hope many of you know, we are celebrating our one-year anniversary, and so this is sort of a special anniversary show, and we could not think of anyone better to bring on than the man behind the curtain, as they say, at the Wizard of Oz, the man who does the show notes, the man who has proclaimed to have a voice for notes, none other than Rich Gehring. Rich, welcome to the show, and thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you, Mike and Michelle. I really appreciate being here, and I've been looking forward to joining you for a while. So I hope I can answer some of these questions well, and I'm looking forward to the next half hour or so.
We have to be careful with Rich because Rich gets to hear all the raw footage of the Mickey Miles podcast. So we don't just usually do a show from beginning to end without some bloopers. So Rich gets to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the funny, and the embarrassing, and things like that.
he could put together his own blooper reel. Rich, would you like to do a shout out?
Yeah, I have a show note shout out for today. I know that we all have a number of friends who have enrolled and been allowed into the Boston Marathon, especially Eddie McCoy, our good friend of the show, who's been on a number of times. So I'm looking forward to going up to Boston to visit and watch and celebrate the finish line with a number of our Mickey Miles friends up in Boston this year.
That's so cool. I didn't know you were coming to Boston. So that means I can get your Red Sox shirt, right?
I would wear a Red Sox shirt for one day. Woo-hoo! In celebration of you and the Boston Marathon, Michelle.
That's great.
I, in fact, have a Boston shirt picked out by a friend of mine already, ready to go for this marathon. So
awesome. Oh, that's so good. We're going to have a big party.
My friend Charlie and I will be up there rooting you all on.
Nice. I have one more announcement, Mike, before we get rolling with our agenda here, and that is to let everybody know one more time that our meet for the Tower of Terror 10-miler is October 6th at 2 p.m. at the Solarium. And, Mike, we have 13 people signed up. Ooh, spooky.
Yeah, just like the number of floors in stories in the Tower of Terror, although from what I understand, there are many stories on the Tower of Terror.
Well, you don't have to RSVP. You can just show up. And I know if you bring a Dole Whip, Mike will be really happy. But good luck transferring it over to the Beach Club Solarium, which is where we're going to be. And we'll be tweeting all weekend long. If you want to, if you can't make it and you want to say hello, we will leave our virtual breadcrumbs all around the parks that weekend.
That's right. So, Michelle, before we get into the questions, let's talk a little bit about this week. This week is our anniversary week. The Mickey Miles podcast is 1 year old. Happy birthday to us.
Yay!
And I think it would be fun to talk a little bit about, you know, where the show came from, where it is, where we hope it's going to go from here.
So let me start off a little bit. Michelle and I talked about doing a podcast that was focused on Run Disney events for a long time. And we actually talked almost an entire year before we actually began the podcast, because we really wanted to be sure that it had sustainability. We wanted to make sure that it had a proper niche. We wanted to make sure that there was an audience out there. And it took a while for us to figure it out. And when you put a podcast together, there's a lot of things that you have to consider. You have to consider all those things. And then you have to start thinking about things like a logo and a format and things like that. So it takes a while. And we came up with a formula and we started it last September. Now, Michelle, I had certain ideas, expectations about what we would accomplish. And I think that as far as I was concerned, I sort of was very, very careful and conservative in my expectations. And from my end, I think that my expectations have exceeded beyond what I thought. I mean, I think that there have been more I think we've been more accepted by people than I thought. I mean, I thought that we would have a pretty good audience, but I had no idea that there would be so many wonderful listeners out there that would embrace the show.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that was important to us when we started this was we knew that we both had experience blogging about running. Mike, you've been doing it for years and years. And we know that there are fantastic Disney podcasts out there, like WDW Today and the WDW Radio Show and the Be Our Guest podcast and lots of others. There are also great running podcasts. You know, the Marathon Show is one of our favorite running podcasts. But we thought that there was sort of a big overlap and that we could kind of fit the niche of talking about Disney and running. And, you know, for me, it was kind of like you and I talked a lot about the podcasts we listened to while we were running. So it would be a good thing to prep people for these races, because they can be very overwhelming, but they could listen while they were running. So it's been fantastic. And I think I definitely agree with you that it takes a lot of work to pull this together. We had help from Mike Newell initially, and Fred Block were fantastic. And I'm surprised by how much work it actually takes, but how much I'm loving doing it and how many really cool people that we've gotten to meet, and people like Rich. And this is one of the things that has completely blown me away. We didn't ask for anybody to help us. We were kind of struggling, and people like Rich came in and said, "What can I do?" And he continues to do that. People like even Phil Vanderpool, people like Angel and Eddie, who you mentioned, and Mike Paxton and Helen, and all these people have just come forward. What can we do to help? So it's been wonderful to try to help people get through Disney races, because they're very, very fun, but they can be overwhelming. Rich, what sort of things have you noticed have changed in the last year?
Well, the first thing I think of is all of those people who get support and encouragement from you both. And I can't tell you a week or even a day where a podcast has been posted and somebody says, "Thank goodness, I needed some motivation to get through today's long run," or "I needed to get back on the road, and you guys certainly helped me get going." So I think it's a really good relationship between the fans of the Mickey Miles podcast and also the hosts as well. I think it's a great exchange. Now, let me ask you guys a couple of trivia questions, because I prepared for tonight just in case. Who was your first celebrity guest on the Mickey Miles podcast?
Ooh. I think I know.
Go ahead.
Rudy Novotny?
He was. He was episode number 2.
Woohoo!
There'll be more coming for later.
Okay. That's great. I just wanted to add one more thing, Mike, and I'd love to hear your opinion about this too. That one thing we really hoped, and this is what has happened, has far exceeded my expectations, is that we really wanted to build a community of runners. Mike and I are, you know, I would say, at least for myself, I'm you know, new to medium experience in running. Mike has a lot more experience than I do. But we have really found that on the Facebook page and just by meeting folks, that we've really become a great running community. And to me, that is the most important thing. I think what happens off the air with conversations and support on the Facebook page and on Twitter has just really blown me away. What do you think, Mike?
I think you're right, Michelle. This morning when I was running, I was thinking about the Run Disney brand. And I was thinking that more than any other running brand, if you want to call it a running brand, it has inspired groups, teams, communities. And I think that having a podcast that does the same just increases the amount of information that's out there, increases the motivation, the camaraderie, and the helping to keep everybody focused. And I think that that's important. I think that what happens in running is that you begin to exchange information, you begin to exchange ideas, experiences, and it can only help. And I think building a community is all part of the idea. I think that when people begin podcasts, when people do blogs, they don't think about communities at first, but I think that that has to be right up there as something that is maybe not an objective, but it's going to be a very, very wonderful side benefit.
Well, so here's to year two. And Mike, let's talk about some of the things that we're going to be doing in year two. One little teaser is that I know tomorrow we are going to interview not one celebrity, but two celebrities. One who is very much a general Disney celebrity and a very dear friend of ours. And then another person who is a Run Disney celebrity. So very, very excited about that. And I know that I've been talking to Carissa. She's going to be coming back on again sometime soon. And, as we gear up for the fall races, Tower of Terror, of course, and Wine and Dine, and then the big January weekend, lots of action, action-packed things going on.
You know, I'd like to take time. Chris, Rich mentioned that trivia question. It was Rudy. And I'd just like to publicly thank people like Rudy Novotny, who came on the show. Joe Terracani came on the show. John and Betsy Hughes came on the show. Carissa came on the show. Carla Brunig. And the list goes on and on. Jeff Galloway, Jeff's been great. We hope to bring those guests back from time to time when it's appropriate. And we also hope to bring new people on. We try to do something that no other podcast does. And I've been doing podcasting for almost going into my ninth year. And I can tell you this, that I don't know of any other podcast that brings on more individuals than the Mickey Miles podcast. And that's part of the community building that we're talking about. So we hope to have you, the listener, maybe come on our show too. We will from time to time reach out and invite listeners to come on the show. So I just wanted to, again, take the time to thank everybody who has been so gracious to come on, and we're looking forward to another year of fun.
Okay, so hang on, Rich, I'm going to cut you a piece of cake. Here's one for you. Okay, Mike. All right, let's go.
Okay.
Let's continue.
On to year two. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Woohoo!
And let's go with questions. And Michelle, let's start off year two with the very first question, and that's you.
Okay, so this is my buddy Brian Marks, and he says, since I love races and I'm training for the WDW Marathon, my first, there's a weekend in November that I can run a 5K, followed an hour later by a 10K, then run a half marathon the next day. Now, I'm not training for the goofy or the dopey, but would this still help for my marathon, or is it a bad idea? I figure if I need to run 26.2, I should be able to do 24 separated by a day. Thoughts? Rich, what do you think about this?
I think anytime you can get runs in when your legs may be a little bit tired, I think you're going to get a lot of experience on how to handle those later miles. I know that since I'm training for the Dopey now, and I just got done training for Dumbo, I found that back-to-back runs, I felt the more back-to-back runs I could do, I was stronger later on in my runs, and I felt better about completing them. So I certainly think it's a great idea as long as you're under control and you're doing it, you know, with the right precautions.
Do you think that he should run those races for time or to finish them?
Well, I think that, you know, if there's one race that he'd be looking forward to running, I don't think that there'd be a problem running one of those races for time. But I think pushing yourself at all three, I think, would just be a little bit too much, depending upon where he is in his plan right now.
I agree 100%. And just make sure that you're feeling okay and that you know you're not pushing through any injury, I think. What do you think, Mike?
I agree with all of the points that Rich made. I remember when we were training Michelle for that back-to-back half marathon weekend 2 or 3 years ago. We were going to do the marathon relay the day after doing the half marathon. I remember talking to one of the members of the team, all is Brad Garfinkel, and one thing always stuck in my mind, and Brad said that when he started to train for the Goofy, what he tried to do is he tried to train his legs to run on – he tried to train his body to run on tired legs. And that got me to thinking that's pretty much what you have to do. So just like Rich said, you know, the more miles you can put in, the more you get experience dealing with this fatigue. And what happens is that – for some reason, after a certain point, the fatigue goes away. It will come back, but it will come away. Michelle?
The other thing, too, is, of course, when you're running Disney races, you're not just running the races. You're walking around the parks, too. So, you know, I think it's good training to simulate what's going to go on, even though I'm not going to say the marathon is your only race, like it's anything to be taken lightly. But it is your only race that weekend, and you'll probably still be walking around. So I think all in all, it's a good thing as long as you feel like you're not injured and you're not pushing it.
Yeah, I just want to add one more thing, and that is that if I'm doing things like that, if I'm doing back-to-back-to-back races, I don't really care about time. I might care about time on the very last race, and if I have any energy, then I might do something. But I'm just worried about finishing them, really.
I think the other thing that's important, it's something that Mike, you and I have talked about many times, is recovery. And I think the more that he can learn about recovery in his body at the same time, I think would certainly help him as well. Because being complete on the first day with whatever runs that he does do, I think you really need to prepare your body for the second day as soon as you finish the 10K on the first day. So recovery is certainly important as well.
Yeah, I think that's part of the training regimen that a lot of people put in the back seat, Rich. And I think that it should – that recently, I know that for me, that's now on the front seat. Recovery is very, very important, very important. Our next question comes from Dina Smith Trentacosta, who asks, has the waivers been released for the Tara Terra and the 5K? And I believe they have. And Dina, if you have registered with Run Disney and for those races, you should have received an email that has that information. If not, you can go over to the Tower of Terror page, and you could actually get to that page through the Mickey Mouse website, and you should have your waiver. And it's a good idea to print your waiver and maybe have an extra one and take it rather than print it at the expo, because there are sometimes long lines.
Yeah, she needs to go to Run Disney, then Tara Terra, then Runner Info, and there's a place to print out your waiver there. And you can actually check out which corral you're in, too, so you know.
And the show notes guy will have that in the show notes for her as well.
He's so awesome. Okay, our next question is from our buddy, Dana Lasbirch, and she says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I've been listening to your podcast since the beginning, and I was even fortunate enough to be on the air during the Princess Weekend this year. That's when it hit. After the Princess, I found myself in a capital letters huge rut. Princess was rough, and I had one more half in May, which was too hot to handle, but I finished anyway. Since then, and really since the Princess, I have been finding reasons to avoid running. No injuries, just life, travel, and enjoying my summer. Since returning to work, just like Michelle, I teach, I've also found work as an excuse. As I listened to episode 95, it was as if you were talking about me. It has given me motivation to get back out on the road, back into the gym for cross training, and I even sign up for one run each month this fall." And she says, "I have three 5K run walks and a 10K in late fall, and hopefully to get a good time to submit for what I think will be my fourth Disney Half Wine and Dine 2014. Thank you so much for a great podcast, and keep the motivation coming. So, Rich, what do you? We had this whole show. I know you know this on ruts, and I like Dana's approach. You know, what do you think about taking a break if you're in a rut? Is that okay?
I know that I finished Goofy this past year, and I fell into a rut pretty quickly, and I think that it helped my body heal a little bit after the strain that it was under in the training and some other things that were going on. So I don't think ever resting your body after pushing pretty hard. And I remember her pushing through the princess. I think that there's always a good in taking a little break before getting back on the road. Mike?
I agree. I think that for a lot of us, with the number of races that are available, I think a lot of us are running more races on average per year than we had maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And let me add one more thing to that, and that is that we're actually probably putting in longer distances. I think the mileage has been creeping up. I remember my first year training for, or maybe first 2 years training for half marathons. I don't think I ever did double-digit miles before the race. Now, you know, I probably do a dozen, maybe 15 double-digit training runs a year. Michelle?
Well, you know, I think that her strategy, one thing stuck out for me. I'm going to coin a new term here. I think there are high stakes races and low stakes races. I think high stakes is when you're traveling to Disney and you have a race that is a long distance where you have to put in weeks and weeks of training. And I think a low stakes race might be like a local 5K where you can do, for an experienced runner like Dana, you can do just a little bit less training, but it still gets you back out there and gets you motivated, but it's not this huge commitment of time. So I think her strategy of doing some low stakes races, local 5Ks that are fun, maybe she can run with friends, is wonderful. And Dana, I hope you do keep us posted on how you're doing. I think, you know, the bottom line is we all go through ruts and it's okay. And you're pulling yourself out of it, which is the great part.
And I think we all need to find that place that gets us motivated to do something next. You know, for me, it was, in fact, I ran up in New Hampshire with you and Charlie, Michelle, and that was one of those races that got me started going again. So it really pays to find something that you're looking forward to doing and putting on the calendar so you're set for whatever race may come next.
And racing with friends is great. I know there's a local one here around Thanksgiving weekend, and I probably won't do it on my own. But I emailed Charlie and said, "Hey, Charlie, are you interested in doing this?" And if he drives down to do it, I'll do it. So it'll motivate me some more. So running with friends is great. And that was so great when you came up to run Winnipesaukee with us.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question does not come from Bob Friend, but comes from Bob Frain from Northridge, California. And it's not really a question, but it's a very interesting note. And I'd love to read it. And it says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle, short time listener, long time runner. I just finished episode 103 with Jeff Galloway and enjoyed hearing his answers to my question. I have defended the run walk method over the last few years. In fact, I used it when I did Goofy in January, and it saved my butt at the Disneyland half a few weeks ago after not being able to run for 5 weeks before the race. I truly believe that running the marathon is not about crossing the finish line, but rather the journey that gets you there. I volunteer with a group here in Los Angeles called Students Run LA, and it takes at-risk middle and high school age kids and teaches them goal setting with the ultimate goal of running the LA Marathon. It is a wonderful program, and I am glad I have been able to be part of it for the last few years. I wanted to share something that you touched on with Jeff regarding post-race recovery drinks. I was turned onto this drink a few years back because it has the proper 4/1 carb/protein ratio. It tastes good, it's easy to find, and it doesn't require refrigeration. So you can keep it in your trunk on those hot New Hampshire days. Of course, it tastes better cold, but it works well. It is the Costco Kirkland Weight Loss Shake. We have nicknamed it the Kirkland Cocktail. You could use, and that's cocktail with a K, You could use Slim Fast or even Ensure, but the Costco brand is much cheaper. I think a 60-minute window is more accurate, but I'm not going to argue with Jeff, as he has forgotten more about running than I will ever know. I also have read and tried to get a good solid meal in within 2 or 3 hours after a long run, ride, or workout. I usually call that breakfast. Thanks for putting the show together. I know it is a lot of work, and we listeners do appreciate it. Keep it up. And again, that was Bob Freen from Northridge, California. So that's another part of the recovery deal.
So I thought this was really interesting because when I was – bear with me here, guys. I do have a connection. When I was pregnant with my second son, being a vegetarian, my doctor was very worried about the amount of protein I was getting during my pregnancy. And she asked me to have at least 2 Carnation instant breakfasts every day. And it's something that I haven't gotten away from. I still have them very frequently. I take them to work with me. And I'm wondering if, you know, the Carnation breakfast, instant breakfast probably does quite the same thing as the Kirkland weight loss shake. It's got a lot of protein in it, especially when you add milk. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I can tell you, Michelle, that for me, I don't do very well after my runs because of whatever goos I'm taking. I'm just not hungry, but I know that I need some form of recovery. And my friend Mike Scopa recommended to me Endurox. So as soon as I get done with my runs, I make it a point to stop, have my Endurox, and then I look forward to a meal later on. So that's sort of my recovery after the race or after a long run.
Yeah, that's what I usually have too. But I don't know. I actually wanted to ask listeners if they had tips for making Endurox taste good because I just don't like it. But Mike?
Well, what you need to do, Rich, and you should try this too. I know Jeff said, yeah, this particular substance really doesn't help because it curdles and it takes 40 minutes for it to get into your system. But I take my Endurox powder and I mix it in chocolate milk.
mine's orange.
Yeah, mine is green, so I don't think the green color.
What flavor is yours?
I don't know. Mine's vanilla, I think.
Is it really? I'll have to look for that. I can see that. Maybe I just have the wrong flavor.
Yeah, lemon, lime, and chocolate milk, I don't know. It just doesn't sound good.
Oh, yeah, mine's like orangey. I don't know. So yeah. It is everything I can do to get that Endurox down. I mean, it's not as bad as Gatorade, you know, which you all know I think tastes like sweat. But, anyway, that's a great tip, Bob. Thank you very much. All right.
All right. Our next question comes from our friend Sam, and it's really a two-parter. We'll start with the first part, which asks, do we think that January will have similar wristbands for Goofy and for Dopey as they did for the Dumbo Double Dare?
I do, yeah. So we should probably explain that. What do you think, Rich?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. So what happened for the Dumbo Double Dare, I think we probably talked about this when we did our race review, is that at the end of the 10K, there was a queue. It was actually kind of hard to see, but it was probably in the race directions and I missed it. There was a sign that said Dumbo Double Dare. When you cross the finish line, they actually put one of those plastic bands that you can't get off unless you have a machete on your wrist. And actually, if you had if you were doing coast to coast, you had 2 of those on, and you had to wear it until after the half marathon when they cut it off and gave you your Dumbo Double Dare band. So it's really interesting because we're talking about you have to do the 5K and show that you completed that, the 10K, the half, and then the full. So for the Dopey, I'm guessing you're going to have 3 of these bands on. What do you guys think?
Well, I think – go ahead, Rich.
I'm sorry. What I was going to say is our friend Mike Paxton actually looked into this, and I believe that there will be 1 band only, and it's not going to be a continual changing of bands. So I wanted to thank Mike because he actually, after California, asked that question from Run Disney.
Oh, so there's just going to be 1 band after the 5K?
I think so.
And I think what's going to happen is I'm guessing on this that there may be some kind of they may punch it and to show that you've completed it and put a specific kind of shape, and you'll just carry that 1 band throughout the weekend.
Yeah, it would be too much because then if you're doing race retreat, you have another one too.
Right. along with your magic band too.
Right. And if you're doing coast to coast, you've got wow. like 17.
You'll have a suit of armor there.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, and then Sam continued on, and he asked what the he suggested what the popularity of online radio apps, Pandora and iTunes Radio and Spotify, that people may not be able to count on that sort of wireless radio during the races. And so his suggestion was to make sure that your iPhone or your other devices had music on it and that you were ready to go by yourself in case, you know, the wireless wasn't holding up. So I think that's a really good suggestion. And Michelle, I know that you were looking for iTunes radio stations as well.
Yeah, I don't actually usually run with the music from my phone, but I think that is a good piece of advice. I just usually run with my Shuffle because that is kind of like my old workhorse, and I can always count on that no matter what. It works. So I worry about with my phone, especially for the longer races, if I'm going to stop and take pictures, if you know, trying to get in touch with somebody after the race, I want to have that battery. So I do usually have my phone just for emergencies, but I run with my little Shuffle. So,
you know, it wasn't until about 3 minutes ago that something just hit my head. And I'm thinking, all these runners who are going to be shortchanged in January after they do the 10K on Friday and the half marathon on Saturday, they don't get anything like a special medal like when we went out to Disneyland and we did the Dumbo Double Dare. You know, I just thought of that.
Oh, yeah. So if you do like what it's going to be for the Glass Slipper Challenge.
Well, our friend Mike Miller has coined a term for that. He calls it the grumpy because you're waking up the first four mornings and you don't get a special medal for doing that. I think he's right. I think I'd be grumpy waking up those three early mornings and not getting a special medal.
But, guys, don't you think it could get out of hand with all the do we want a medal for the people who did the 5K and the 10K and the 10K and the half and the 5K and the marathon? I mean, it's just – I don't know. I think it
could
get –
Hey, you guys know that doing a 10K and a half, that's not a little thing to do.
Oh, I agree, but how are they going to manage all that? I just think that for that race weekend, I think it's just too much.
Well,
all right, our next question is from Brittany Brown, and she says, I recently started listening to your podcast, and I love them. Thank you, Brittany. They're getting me so excited for my first Disney race and first half marathon. I signed up to do the half in January with my husband, and we've been training for a while now. And it's going to be our honeymoon that we never had before he goes for his last deployment for 9 months. Problem in question is due to the unforeseen circumstances, his ship may deploy early in next month instead of in 9 months, and it will be more like 13. I know I can defer to 2015, but is it wrong that I still want to do it? I can't see doing any other half as it's my first, and I'm a huge Disney nut. And I've been training and dreaming of this, but people run them alone. Should I defer and try another race? What do you think, Mike? This is a great question.
And I think it's a personal decision. I think that if it was important for her to do it with her husband, her first half marathon with her husband, then, you know, she needs to think about that. I think that he needs to think about that. I think they need to talk it over. I do recall waiting in the corrals 1 year, and there was a woman who ran in January. She ran the half marathon, and her husband was in Iraq, and he ran a half marathon at the same time, and they had a virtual connection, and they could do that too. Possibly. But I think it's a personal decision that she and her husband have to talk about.
Well, I think it gets more to the point. I think she understands that. I think the question is more like, if she goes alone, is she going to have a good time? What is it like running a Disney race when you're not there with family or friends, or running the race alone?
I did that the first year. I was training for the half marathon. I went down to Orlando in October to run for Race for the Taste, which was only a 10K. And I went to the expo And they had Race for the Cure the day before, 5K. I said, what the heck? It was $25. $25. That's all it was. So I signed up for that, and I ran by myself. I think that when you run by yourself for the first time, I think it really does a lot to your confidence. It does a lot to your self-esteem, and it will motivate you for a future race. And Brittany, I can tell you that the more Run Disney races you do, the more people you'll get to know, and you'll begin to see familiar faces. And I think that you won't be alone.
Yeah, I think if you're going to go someplace alone, there's so much to do during those race weekends, and you'll be at Walt Disney World. And if you're a Disney nut, you'll definitely keep yourself busy. What do you think, Rich?
I think, well, first of all, I'd just like to say thank you to Brittany and Brittany's husband for their sacrifice. I think it's amazing what so many people do in support of this country. So, first of all, thank you.
Yes.
Second of all, I think that when she enters the corral, she's going to meet all sorts of people, and some may be faster, some may be slower, but you're going to make friends in that corral. And I can tell from just running in Dumbo this past year, you're going to meet people and you're going to run along with them. And you know, I found doing Galloway, I'd be running past and behind people all the time, and we'd be chatting all along the way. So I don't think you'll ever be lonely in Disney. Our friend Tara asks, actually says, hi guys, love the show. Quick question. Who's the character mascot medal for the new 10K in January 2014? I'd like to start planning costume ideas. I thought I heard that it was Minnie Mouse, but I can't find any info online about it. Thanks for your help, Tara. Well, Tara, I know that if you were to go to the Mickey Miles podcast webpage right now, you'd be able to see the medals on the Facebook page at least. And I know that we do have a bright, shiny new Minnie medal on that page. So if you're starting to think about costume ideas, Minnie's your gal.
That'll be cool. It's a nice medal. I like that one.
I think they've done a good job with all of the new medals.
Yeah, some people aren't, I've heard, aren't as happy with them. But, yeah, I like them. Mike, do you want to do the last question?
Our next and final question comes from Mark. And Mark says, I have a question about the transportation to the Villains Bash Party. We are staying at the Contemporary. You mentioned that you can't drive to Disney Hollywood Studios, but are cabs allowed to go there? And then, will there be cabs available to take us back at 3 a.m.? I know we can take a bus to the Poly, but then we'd still have to take a cab over to the Contemporary. Direct would be much easier. Thanks. Well, Mark, let's pull back on this a little bit. Let's say you go to the studios at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't see why you can't park then. I think that when you get around 6, 7, or 8 o'clock, then it might be an issue. There will be cabs available to take you back at 3 o'clock. There is an area that is in front of the general bus area, and that area will be, I'm sure that night, will be just packed with cabs, ready to be, ready, willing, and able to take you anywhere you want to go. So I don't think there'd be a problem. Rich, Michelle, comments?
I concur.
Well, I still haven't run a night race yet, and I would have asked you the same question about the Wine and Dine finale and getting back to my hotel. So we'll keep this in the queue for next time as well.
It's really interesting to me because I think that some people don't like to take cabs in general. They're just not used to – and I'm all for just jumping in a cab, even if you're at Disney World. I know that once I was – I think, Mike, you and I were going to – the Grand Floridian Cafe, not the cafe, the Garden View Cafe. We're going to tea. And we were late and we jumped in a cab and it was great. You know, it's, you don't want to have to pay the $10 when you're staying at Disney. But, you know, if you want peace of mind, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If the bus isn't there fast enough, jump in a cab. There are plenty of cabs there. Go for it.
Yeah, cabs. And I would say that a cab ride from the Contemporary to the studios, I'm going to say, is going to be around $15 with tip, maybe 20.
Not every day, but just, you know, if you need
yeah.
to.
Yeah. And I believe that takes care of the questions, all the questions we have for this show. We want to thank the man behind the notes, Rich Gehring, for coming on. Rich, we're going to have to do this more often. We're going to have you come on and help us because it's nice to have another person help us answer these questions. And we couldn't think of anybody better to bring on the anniversary show than our own beloved Rich Gehring. So thanks again.
Thank you, Mike and Michelle. And while I won't be with you at the Tower of Terror, I look forward to meeting everybody at the Wine and Dine when we can all get together again.
Oh, great. And thank you to Rich's wife, Kathy, who spares him to do things like be on podcasts and do way too many show notes.
And Rich, after the Wine and Dine half marathon, we're not going to do chocolate milk with Endorox. You know what we're going to do?
What are we going to do?
We're going to do grapefruit beer.
Delicious.
Yes, we are.
Can I come too? Thank you.
And Michelle, I know. Go ahead, Rich.
No. I think it sounds like a Mickey Miles podcast meetup after these two.
Well,
I know that Michelle's going to be looking for something along that line after the 10 miler and a beer, right, Michelle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, beer will hit good. So, anyways, for Rich Gehring and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa. We will see you over the next year, and we will see you on the road.
Happy birthday.
This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And over the past year, we've talked about how wonderful the vacation planners are at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And we will continue to do so because we feel they are the best. So if you want the best vacation possible, then you need to visit them at MEI-travel.com or MouseFanTravel.com or go click on their banner at the Mickey Mouse website.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.